Hello, hello, and welcome back to Organic Gardening for Beginners. My name is Jessica, and this is the show that teaches you the sustainable and very simple methods you need to grow a very productive food and flower garden for yourself. Today, we are launching another month. It is March. I've been singing about this for the last little bit of time's flying. It's springtime. March is a big month in the gardening world. So I've got several things for you to put on your list, several things from last month that'll still carry over, and lots of resources to help you get there. Okay, so first up on the list for this month, for March, we are going to talk about what is going on in the planting scene. So whether that's direct sowing, starting indoors, transplanting, This is a big list month. I would say that March and May are two of the bigger months for the gardening world. So for sowing straight out in the garden, this will obviously depend a lot on your climate and if it's, you know, covered in snow out there or not. But if you are in zone 7 and above, I would say zone 6, maybe it would depend, you know, a little bit on your regionality. But you can start sowing out things like cold season greens like lettuce and spinach and arugula, mizuna, all of those salad greens. You can definitely start sowing out peas, whether that's a snap pea, a snow pea, sweet peas for that matter, although they're not edible. Don't eat them. Sweet peas are toxic. Very important distinction there. You can also start putting out either direct sowing. You can try direct sowing things from the cabbage family like cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. I would recommend starting indoors as a seedling because they have a very long maturity period, so I wouldn't recommend direct sowing those. And then finally, you can also start putting out some root crops, and it'll depend again on what your local weather is doing. So by root crops, I mean things like radish, beets, and carrots. And those are only going to start germinating once your soil is at least 45 degrees. So totally dependent on what your climate is doing. For example, we've got a 27 degree night coming up here in the next few days, which sucks, but we'll get through it. But I'm not going to be putting any root crops out there right now or really any direct sowing for this week because I know how cold it's going to be. Those seeds are just going to sit there and soak up all the rain that we've been having and do absolutely nothing at all. But if we were having 45 degree nights consistently, then I might consider it. So look at your climate, at what your March is supposed to be doing for you, and let that really help determine what you decide to direct. So starting indoors has a ton more flexibility because there's, you know, you can control the climate of your germination area and when exactly you put it out. Whereas direct sowing, you are totally at the whimsy of your mother nature, unless you happen to have something like a row cover or a low tunnel or a cold frame that can help provide some protection for those crops and a little bit of temperature increase. So back to the list. You've got your peas, greens, cole crops, cabbage family type brassicas. I'll call them by their real name, brassicas. And then on the other side of that, all the things that you can start indoors is really, this is the kickoff of your endless list. So everything from your warm season tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, those can all get started out now. You can push the envelope a little bit. It's a smidgen early for things like sunflowers and zinnias, simply because they don't need that long indoors before you plant them out, like maybe 6 weeks. At this point, you know, say you have your last frost at the end of April, beginning of May, that would keep them indoors for closer to 8 weeks right now. But if you have something like a mid-April last frost, then you would totally be on track to start your zinnias, cosmos, sunflowers, stuff like that indoors. Strawflower, marigolds, calendula, nasturtium, all of those flowers that are going to bloom late spring and all summer long, now is a great time to be starting those. And on the herb side of things, just like the warm season veggies and flowers I mentioned, you can also be starting your basil right about now. You can start out pretty much any herb. Parsley, dill, chives, sage is another really good one, oregano, thyme. I would not recommend trying to start lavender or rosemary from seed because they are not finicky, just very slow to germinate and then slow to grow, to where it would take a really long time or many weeks and months of growing before you could harvest anything off of it. So if you want those crops this year, go find a seedling because it's going to set you up for way more success than starting it from seed. Another herb that I would highly recommend getting in the ground now is dill. So that way you can plant that out. It's pretty cold tolerant and you can be harvesting the greens from it over the springtime. If you want to have dill for canning in the summertime, if you're looking for those actual seed heads, then you'll probably want to start another round of dill a little bit later on. But for right now, for the greenery, this is a great time to get dill going. It is one of those tricky seeds that you don't cover. And so you need to make sure it stays moist, but after it germinates, it's super duper easy to grow. No problem. Great for beginners, especially if this is your first time with an herb garden. Okay, so that is a very fast summary of what you can plant. Pretty much the green light on just about everything. And this is going to follow up in April as well, where I say if you haven't started, you know, XYZ, now is your time to do so. So start everything that you're going to start from seed, get that going this month. Use your judgment on if it should be, you know, say this first week of March or the last week of March. Obviously, that's going to make a big difference. But I would certainly say by the end of this month that the bulk of what you want to start from seed is you've got the green light to do so. Okay, so looking a little bit more at the chore and maintenance side of your monthly checklist, there's not a whole lot to do in one regard, and there's a ton to do in another regard. So to break that down, what I mean is this really is not yet the season where, or the month, I should say, where you want to be getting out and digging around in your garden, unless you're in an area like Southern California, like in the South, where the winter rains have stopped, if you're going to have rains, your soil is not soggy, and your prime planting time is right around now. When we lived in Southern California, I was putting out my tomatoes in March, like my actual transplanted tomatoes that I had started in January. And the soil was totally accommodating for that. However, if I were to try to go out right now and start digging around and fertilizing and mixing in compost, it's been raining for days nonstop. We got snow the other day on Saturday when I was at the market and we all got snowed on. So this is not the month yet, or at the very least, not the week to be digging around in my garden. So again, kind of like with the seed starting, use your judgment on that. What is your weather doing? If you know you want to dig in some amendments, or you're adding compost, or you're starting a new bed, if your weather's been somewhat dry, you're not buried in snow, you're not getting inundated with rain, then this might be a good week or month to do so. However, if you're in the Northwest like me or another rainy area, wait until next month. Or to get around that, what you can do, if you know you need new garden beds, you can do a no-till garden bed or a lasagna style or deep mulch type bed. And what all of those are, and I've talked about this before in past episodes, this is where instead of tilling up a new garden space, you simply build one on top of your existing area. So if you have a grassy backyard or a weedy area or even just some bare dirt that you know you want to plant in, instead of tilling up that area to mix in compost and whatnot, what you can do is just build on top of your ground. And so what I do is put a thick layer of cardboard, usually, you know, say just like a flattened box, sometimes two layers, depending on the existing area. If I'm really trying to smother out the grass or invasive grasses like Bermuda grass, then I might do a double layer just to slow it down a little bit more. And then on top of that, you can layer in kitchen scraps, compost, straw, and like chicken bedding. If you have chickens, you can buy raised bed mix. You can use any combination of these things, even leaves, especially if they are partially composted. And then you're just kind of building up your new garden area in layers, and you're going to plant straight into that. Now, if you do put chicken bedding or any sort of animal manure in there, but in particular chicken manure, you want to make sure you wait several months. With chicken, they do recommend 6 months, which would put you in a little bit of a pinch if you did it now, you know, and want it for spring planting. So think of when you're going to want to plant, you know, if you're going to use animal manure. So if you're building this bed knowing you're not going to do a spring planting, but you are going to do a midsummer or a fall planting, then go ahead and use chicken manure, fresh chicken bedding. It'll have plenty of time to break down. But if you're building this bed in the hopes of planting everything out next month or even in May, then I would not recommend putting in fresh animal manure, simply because it won't have had enough time to break down for any pathogens to get washed away or cooked off in the sunshine, or for other animals to come and eat and take away. And you would be better off sticking with something like rabbit manure, which you don't need that kind of cooling period, or even something like alpaca or llama manure. You can apply a lot with less time between application and planting. If you want to skip all the manures, then just go for kitchen scraps, leaves, compost that you buy in or you've made, you know, on site. And that will be a perfect layering job to be able to plant directly into. So aim for at least 3 inches, maybe more like 6, because it is going to sink down. So you have your layer of cardboard, your layer of compost slash kitchen scraps and leaves and whatnot, and then you plant straight into that. And once the plant roots get deep enough to hit the cardboard, that cardboard will be soggy enough and breaking down so that the roots can go straight through down into your native soil. And in the meantime of all that, because, you know, at least weeks, if not months, are going to go by between planting and the cardboard breaking down, the weeds will have been smothered so that you are not planting into straight lawn or unprotected ground where the weeds are just going to pop right back up and inhale anything you plant out there. This way of building beds is how I've done it for many, many years. I typically make a raised bed this way where I put up wooden sides, but then I fill it in exactly that way. I put down cardboard, I put down kitchen scraps, manure, et cetera, et cetera. And then depending on the exact materials I use, I either plant right then or I wait a few months and then plant. And it works beautifully. You don't have to till anything. It's very easy. I actually went more in depth on this and how you can use raised beds as a new garden space relatively easily back in episode 35. So if that's something that you want to dig into a little bit more, then go check out that episode. Also on the chore list, not so much of building out new beds, but just making sure you've got a plan for what your garden year is going to look like. So kind of that seed starting schedule, planning things out, layout, format, those are the sorts of chores that are great to do this month if you haven't done them already, so that by the time your seedlings that you're starting indoors now are ready to get transplanted, or by the time April and May roll around when you can direct sow pretty much anything that will mature in time in your season or in your area, you know what you want to plant where, what seedlings you need to be keeping an eye out for as they start to come into the nurseries, the big box stores, farmer's market, in front of the grocery store, anywhere you might find a seedling, and what are some seeds that you still need to get to fill in any gaps, basically to make sure that May doesn't roll around and you are left with either no garden area prepped and ready to go, or realizing, oh shoot, I forgot to start XYZ from seed, I need to go find some seedlings, and not being able to find them. So getting all your ducks in a row of seeds, plants, seed starting schedule, your layout, do you have enough space for what you're wanting to grow? Do you need to trim back on space so that your garden season is a little bit more successful and less stressful? This is a great time to do that if you haven't already. And I mentioned this last week where I put together some garden layout templates for you that are linked in the show notes, that the part that I really like of them, I mean, I like all of them, but I map out 4x8 garden beds across the 4 seasons. So you can kind of get this bird's eye view of what a full garden year can look like in the same space. Like, how do you transition from spring to summer, summer to fall, obviously back around fall to winter, and what stays, what goes, what do I need to be thinking ahead for, knowing that, you know, say August, September rolls around and I want to get my fall garden going, so I need to start my kale and lettuce seeds now. It kind of helps you get the flow and avoid being in that rut of I'm planting out this huge summer garden. I've got these amazing summer harvests of tomatoes and zucchini and cucumbers, and that's it. August, September, finish up and your garden is done. And then winter happens. It's March, it's April, and nothing is ripe yet or mature yet. And so you are waiting for those summer crops once again. So these layouts, I think, can really help you plan ahead a little bit more. Okay, one last chore I want to put on this list is if you're going to plant fruit, now is a good time to do it. And I have said before, I am no fruit expert. I am just starting on the journey of learning how to grow fruit. I've grown strawberries in the past and that's it. But if you are buying fruit trees, I know that this early spring is a very good time to do it. Fall is equally good, but you don't want to go buy an apple tree or raspberries in the middle of summer when it's hot already and then go plant them out. It's too much of a shock for your fruit trees or canes, brambles, whatever you're buying. And so spring is a really good time to do that so that they still have a couple months of cooler weather to establish themselves before the heat of summer. So go shopping for your fruit trees if that is a priority for you. And I would guesstimate that this is probably the last month you would want to do so. Otherwise, wait for the fall for the next, you know, round of cooler weather. Okay, this feels like a slightly shorter episode, but really it's all about getting out there to plant. Hopefully you already have your garden area set up. If you don't, start looking for those little dry pockets of weather or when it's going to start warming up, you know, relatively consistently to where you can put in the new beds. If you've listened to past episodes, you know that I've already told you to mulch everything. You know that I've already told you to leave your garden debris behind, like all your dead plants from last year, so that insects can hibernate in them, the birds can have eaten the flower seeds. It's not yet time to clean all that up. It can be tempting, especially when things are brown and smushy and it's looking a little messy and you want it tidied up out there. But the insects that use that plant debris to hibernate are still hibernating because it's not warm yet. So I believe the threshold is consistently 50 degree nights before you start to cut back plant matter, because that 50 degrees is what kind of triggers the insects to stop hibernating and wake up and vacate whatever leftover plant they're hanging out in. So if you go out right now when it's 30 degrees out consistently and you start cutting down the black-eyed Susans that you left behind or the cosmos or the hydrangea, then you are potentially taking the hibernating insects and tossing them either in the compost where they might get smothered, or, you know, your landscaping bin or your landfill bin, and cutting off the benefit that they were there for in the first place. So let your garden be messy for a little bit longer, even if it drives you crazy. It's good for your garden, for your fertility program, and for the hibernating insects that are potentially in there. That's it for this week, my friends. Don't forget to check out that resource. I am also going to leave a couple of links in the show notes because there have been some really good YouTube videos and podcast episodes lately from other educators and content creators that I want to make sure you guys are aware of. In particular, Hugh Richards is one of my favorite gardeners that I listen to all the time, and he's had some really good garden planning videos lately. And then I also found this really cool cattle panel greenhouse build video where this guy used two, maybe three cattle panels in a row and used it to make a little seed starting greenhouse for himself. And even though we have a larger hoop house on our property, I'm looking at this plan with the intent to build one specifically for my seedlings because it looks super sturdy, really easy to follow, easy materials to put together. So I will link his video in case you have also been thinking about doing some sort of a greenhouse build. I know he sells his plans on Etsy with like the cut list and everything, but even just watching the video can really help give you an idea of what it should look like and the space and everything. And I don't have any, you know, affiliation or anything with this. It's just a helpful video that I liked that I want to make sure that you guys can get your hands on. Which reminds me, one of the Hugh Richards videos that I've watched recently, he's got a plan in this video of how to make a hinged low tunnel cover for one of his raised beds that I also think could be super helpful for many of you guys out there, especially if you're in a colder area. So I will make sure to link that below because it is well worth a watch and can be a super valuable tool to integrate into your garden area. All right, for reals this time, that's it. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.